Hey, you guys, doing another movie review, and we're doing another Italian movie because I told you guys that on this Flickers of Fear series, I definitely wanted to do some more Italian movies. However, this one is not a giallo film, and neither is it a slasher film. This one is kind of like one of the more underrated, I guess, Italian horror films from the late 1980s. This is called The Church, or La Chiesa, if you would rather have it like that in its native language. So, this was directed by Michele Soavi, who probably best known in the US for doing Stage Fright, the slasher, which came out 1 or 2 years prior to this movie, and also for doing one of my favorite Italian horror films of all time, Cemetery Man, or Della Morte, Della More, if you prefer, which came out in 1990 with Rupert Everett. And we did a movie retrospective on that a while back. So if you want to go listen to my thoughts on that, you can go see that as well. Now, Michele Soavi was an actor as well. He was in Stage Fright. He was in the first Demons, which I'm going to get into because this movie has like some ties to that film franchise. He's kind of like one of Dario Argento's proteges in a way. And he and Dario Argento actually kind of co-wrote The Church, and Dario Argento also produced it, so he did have a hand in it. Now, initially, The Church, or the movie that would become The Church, rather, was supposed to be the third in the Demons series. Demons being the first one, famously, which is actually very good, and I'll get around to it in a little while, but it's one where everyone's kind of trapped in a movie theater, everyone's turning into demons, and it's super gory, super fun, that kind of thing. And that was directed by Lamberto Bava. And then, so they made a second one, Demons 2, obviously. And Lamberto Bava, I guess he wanted to do a third one. And I guess I don't really know, but I feel like Dario wasn't too jazzed about it, or he wanted to go in a different direction. Basically, he was saying, nobody really wanted, other than Lamberto Bava, nobody really wanted a third Demons film. Like, the studio wasn't asking for it. I didn't want to do it. And so basically, Lamberto Bava eventually went off to do some other shit. He was doing like some TV movies after that time. So Dario, they kind of had a script for what would become Demons 3. I think it was supposed to initially take place on an airplane, of all things. These motherfucking demons on this motherfucking plane. That's essentially what it was going to be. But then after a while, he was just like, no, we don't want to do that. So they brought in Michele Soavi, who, like I said, is kind of Dario's, one of his proteges. And Michele Soavi was kind of like, I kind of want this to be, it can still have demons in it. It can still have that sort of vague idea. But he's like, I want it to be like a more sophisticated movie, or like a more gothic type of supernatural horror, rather than the kind of fun punk rock kind of stuff that had been going on in the Demon series. Which, like I said, I do recommend Demons 1 and Demons 2. They're both super fun movies. But this is kind of a different thing altogether, although you can see where the germ of this idea kind of came from those movies, because much like in the first Demons, where every like all these people are trapped in a movie theater, everybody starts demoning out and they have to like fight against them. This one eventually gets to a point where there are a bunch of disparate people and they're trapped in a cathedral and people start demoning out, but not in exactly the same way. So this movie also stars, there's a, you know, a as in a lot of Italian horror productions of this time period, kind of has an international cast. You got Hugh Quarshie, who is a British actor, although I believe he was born in Ghana. And he was actually in Highlander. He was in the first Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace. I can't remember who he was in that, but you'll recognize him if you see him. And he was in some Doctor Who episodes as well. You also have Tomas Arana, who was an American actor, actually went on to much greater things. He was in a bunch of movies. He was in Hunt for Red October, The Bodyguard, LA Confidential, Bourne Supremacy. He was in Gladiator, The Dark Knight Rises. So he was in like a shit ton of stuff. You will recognize him as well. Barbara Cupisti is in this as well, sort of as one of the main protagonists. If you know anything about Italian horror, you will recognize her as well because she was in Cemetery Man later. She was in opera. She was also in New York Ripper. She actually started out as a dancer, but she is actually better known as a documentary filmmaker of all things, which actually I didn't really know about her. So that was something else that I looked up while I was researching this. This also stars a very, very young Asia Argento. I don't know if this was the first movie that she was in. She was only 14, I think, when she was in this movie. And she has kind of a large part in it. She's not like a main character, but, you know, she's for sure like a supporting role or whatever. Also, another guy that you will recognize as one of the priests in this is Giovanni Radice, who was very famously in City of the Living Dead, the guy that had the, you know, the drill put through his head. And he was also in House on the Edge of the Park. And he was, I believe he was also in Cannibal Ferox. So this has kind of like an all-star cast. So the story behind this, there's kind of a prologue at the beginning, which is set in the Middle Ages. And you get kind of all these Knights Templar type of, I don't think they're Knights Templar, but it was, you know, somebody like that. And they're kind of like going around rooting out witches in the countryside. So they go to this one village, which, you know, somebody told them somewhere was just like teeming with witches. And they find this young woman who, the kind of the signal of her being in league with Satan is she has a cross kind of like carved into the bottom of her foot. So I guess like stepping on it is like sacrilegious. So that shows them that she's a Satanist or whatever. So they're basically like burn it all down and like fuck everybody in this village. They start cutting people's heads off. The horses run over babies. It's a massacre. So, you know, so it starts out kind of brutal and gory, like even from the first, you know, scene. So they dump all the dead bodies into this big pit. And then they basically say, okay, well, we're going to cover this pit up. And then we're going to build a church over it to like seal in the evil. So it's just kind of like satanic Tupperware kind of shit going on. We're going to build a big cathedral on top of it and just kind of keep all the demons and keep all the evil like underneath the earth and everything will be fine. Obviously, because it's a horror movie, shit doesn't turn out to be fine, but you know how that always goes. So then we jump ahead to the modern day, or at least the modern day when this movie was made, which was 1989. So in the cathedral, you have all these kind of cranky priests, the one nice priest whose name is Father Gus, who kind of ends up being the hero of the shit. And you have this dude that starts working there, whose name is Evan. And I guess he's got hired to be the librarian or whatever. So he shows up late, like, you know, the main priest, like, who's this really, really old guy with crazy eyebrows. He just kind of like fucking, you know, busts his balls about it and all this other shit. So then he meets this woman that's working there who she's like working on, she's restoring a fresco. So I guess she's like an archaeologist or art restorer or something like that. So she's been working in there. They pretty much immediately start making lovey-dovey eyes at each other and fall into bed pretty much without even so much as a how do you do. So there's that whole shit going on. And then it turns out that so Asia Argento plays a character named Latte, and she is not like a latte, like a Starbucks latte. It's latte with an O, but otherwise spelled the same. So, you know, just saying. She's like the daughter of the sacristan. And so she lives in the church, I guess. And she's kind of always like crawling around and getting underfoot and whatnot. Now, it should be noted that Asia Argento's character in the present day, she was also present back in the medieval era. She was kind of like the sole survivor of the town that got massacred. You know what I mean? Because I guess like the guy that was, he had her in his sights and he was going to kill her. And she just like was so cute and everything that he couldn't do it. So it's not, this is much like in most Italian movies. It doesn't make a huge amount of sense. Like, I'm not really sure. I don't know. It's just like a weird thing, but we'll get into that. So she's, you find out later that she's kind of like, it's sort of implied that she might be like the reincarnation of that little girl from back then. But I don't really know if that's a good thing or bad thing. I don't know. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. But like I said, this is an Italian horror movie. Don't worry about it. And honestly, I will say that this one looks, if you've seen Cemetery Man, you know, which I feel like a lot of horror fans have seen, maybe this one not so much, but Cemetery Man is fucking gorgeous. It's like beautiful to look at. And you can really tell, I mean, Michele Soavi has this really, I mean, his eye for filmmaking is just like amazing. So this movie just like drips with fucking atmosphere. And the cathedral that they shot it in, I think was in Hungary, if I'm not mistaken. And it's just gorgeous. So like all the interiors are gorgeous. Like all the shot framing is gorgeous. This is a really, really nice looking movie. It just got released on Blu-ray a couple years back. I think a company called Scorpion did it. So if you really want to see it kind of in all its glory, then I would recommend getting that because this is a really, really visually arresting film. So basically what you have like for the first hour or so of the movie, now, I will say that even though there's some kind of brutality and stuff in the beginning, like in the medieval prologue or whatever, with, you know, horses running over people's severed heads and whatnot, then for about the next hour of the film, because this movie's about hour 45 minutes, something like that, it's a little bit kind of slow, but on that didn't really bother me because it was kind of cool and atmospheric and everything, and it had like a little bit of a, you know, we're uncovering secrets kind of vibe, you know what I mean? So I kind of liked that. So Evan and the art restorer, who's the character name escapes me at the moment, but she was, I'll just call her Barbara because that's the actress's name, even though that wasn't her name in the movie. So she's kind of like poking around doing her restoration jazz, and she finds this little bit of parchment like in the wall, and it looks like it has some kind of weird like secret code on it or something like that. And Evan gets like super obsessed with it and like trying to figure out what it says. And then he realizes it's all backwards Latin or something like that, and he figures it out. So the thing that he reads on this parchment basically says something about like the stone. What is this, the stone with the seven eyes or something like that? So while he's poking around like down in the catacombs or whatever, he finds like this big, huge, like cement, like, you know, stone cross. It's like embedded into the floor, and embedded in the middle of that is this kind of round stone thing that has sort of a goat head with seven eyes on it. So it's, and then he kind of like turns it, it's essentially like a manhole cover pretty much. And he pulls it out, and there's this big, just, it looks like a black void down there. And you're meant to assume that this is where the demons come out. And indeed, that is what happens. So there's some kind of creepy shit that happens early on. I mean, he seems to be like the first one to get possessed, but I do like that they didn't do exactly the same thing like they did in Demons, where if you, as soon as like a demon like touched you or scratched you or something like that, then you would like just fucking demon out yourself. But the cool thing they did about this one was that when you were possessed, it would, the demon would make you see things and do things that weren't there. So like they gave you like visions, you know, if you looked at yourself in the mirror, sometimes it was, you were all fucked up looking and stuff, but to other people, you didn't look like that. So I kind of liked that aspect a little bit better. It kind of left everything a little more ambiguous, and it kind of left it open for some more like weirder, like dreamlike sort of imagery, which I thought was really cool. So basically, Evan, having opened the portal to hell, as one does, he essentially gets possessed, tears out his own heart, again, as one does, but it doesn't kill him. So I'm guessing like the demon is animating him. But he's still like walking around. He still looks like Evan. He doesn't look like, he looks a little raggedy and like he needs to comb his hair and stuff, but he doesn't look like, you know, fucking Evil Dead or anything like that. But he starts acting like super, super weird. Like he comes back to work and he starts like being an asshole, like not answering people's questions. He starts being a dick to his girlfriend. He starts like beating her around. He starts fucking with Latte, Dario Argento's character, you know, and kind of threatening to stab her in the stomach and all this other shit. And it should be noted too that the sacristan, who is Latte's father, has also subsequently been possessed by the demons that are coming out of the underneath the cathedral. So it's kind of like spreading a little bit like a virus. But as I said, it's not as obvious like who's possessed and who's not, other than them just like acting weird and like doing weird shit. There's a scene too where Barbara, as I said, that's not her name in the movie, but that's just the actor's name, and because I can't remember what her name was in the movie. But even though I just fucking watched it, that's my memory's going, I guess. But she's like at her house and she sees like essentially like a big demon devil monster like outside her window and starts flipping out and jumps right out the window to escape it, like right through the glass, like right in her fucking nightgown and everything. I'm like, well, damn, you go, girl. That she really, really wanted to get away. But like she ends up running out and the cops are already there. They're like, yeah, we traced your call, even though it was like 2 seconds previously. I was like, wow, cops are also on the ball. But yeah, so she gets away with that. So you kind of have that kind of shit going on. And it's weird because you think that Evan and Barbara are like the main characters because you kind of follow mostly them like throughout. There's some scenes with the priest and there's some scenes with Latte and stuff like that and the sacristan, but mostly it's those two. But then after Evan gets possessed, Then it kind of goes off in a slightly different direction. Like, not, it's not like a big tonal shift or anything, but it just kind of goes off, like it shifts the focus off of them and goes on to other things. And at this point, it seems like toward the end of the movie, like Father Gus becomes sort of the hero of the piece, because he's the one that has to figure out like what the secret is, how they can fight it or anything. But in the interim between those two things, you basically have a thing where there's a shit ton of people in the cathedral for several different reasons. Like, there's a teacher with a whole class full of school kids that are doing a tour of it. There's this woman who is wearing the world's most enormous wedding dress. And I guess I thought she was a model just modeling a wedding dress, but I guess she's getting married. Like, it's her wedding day, but she's not getting married in this cathedral, but they're taking pictures of her. And they were basically like, hey, can we go in and, you know, take pictures inside the cathedral? Maybe she is a model. I don't know. I didn't really get it. But they asked her when she was getting married, and she said, yeah, I'm getting married today. I don't know what it would be. So it doesn't really matter. But she has this fucking huge, huge wedding dress, and like a guy dressed up like a groom, and a bunch of other people kind of like in their entourage. There's this weird, old couple where the guy is always like complaining and calling his wife an old cow and shit like that. And she's just like totally optimistic and oblivious and saying groovy all the time and eating the fucking communion wafers and shit, which they're delightful. So yeah, so then you have all of these people in the cathedral for whatever reason, including all the priests and shit. And it so happens that the sacristan, who, as I said, has also been possessed, he realizes that he's been possessed and has the presence of mind to go down to where there's some work being done in the cathedral, and he commits suicide in probably the most painful way imaginable by impaling himself on a running jackhammer, which, fair play, I don't think I've ever seen that in a movie before. And it's quite something. But yeah, so you do see, like, it's just coming out of this middle, and there's just, like, chunks, and it's, like, it's great. It's an Italian movie, so there's a lot of gore. Not as much as some other movies, like, in this, of this era, not as much as Demons, for example, but it does have some really good gory set pieces. It's just most of them, you know, it doesn't happen till, like, toward the end of the movie, you know what I mean? Most of the first hour 10 minutes is kind of more building up of atmosphere. There's a couple gore scenes, but not that many. If you're going to wait for all the crazy shit and all the gory shit, that's like pretty much in the last like fucking 20 minutes or whatever. So just an FYI. So the sacristan killing himself with the jackhammer, as I mentioned, it's quite awesome. Somehow, I think that his suicide causes this mechanism. It's very Tomb Raider. It causes this mechanism to basically turn on, like in the church, and it makes the front doors close. Now, apparently this church only has one entrance and hence only one exit, at least that anyone ever knows about. So when these doors close, everyone is essentially like trapped inside. Trapped in the door is the woman with the enormous wedding dress, because the dress is so big and she was standing in front of the door when they were taking the picture, and it's kind of like sucking her, she can't breathe or whatever. And they don't really want to cut it off her because they're like, man, this dress is so expensive. This dress is so expensive, we have to return it. So, you know, they don't really want to cut her out right away. So there's that whole issue. So during this scene where everyone's trapped in there, everybody starts, like, slowly starts getting possessed, because, like, the sacristan, like, runs through there, and he, like, scratches a couple people, much like in Demons, where you get scratched or whatever, and then that, like, demons you out. But, so some of those people start having visions as well. Like, this one guy, oh, there's also, like, a teenager, like a pair of teenagers, like a couple, or they're not teenagers really, they're probably in their 20s, but they were on their way to a concert and they ended up in the cathedral somehow, like to make a phone call or I don't know. And they, like, he sees his girlfriend naked, like in the arms of this big demon, like a big demon gargoyle looking thing, who I think is Evan painted green with big wings now that I'm thinking about it. But yeah, I'm not real sure. But yeah, so he sees that. There's the woman in the wedding dress. She finally gets released, you know, from the dress, and she is kind of down in this thing, and she's real vain. So she's kind of like, I can't believe there's not a mirror. I have to see if I look okay or whatever. And she looks in the mirror and it makes her look like an old hag. So she basically tears her own face off. The old people, this is my favorite. The old couple for whatever reason, decide they're going to climb up to the bell tower. I don't know if they're looking for a way out or if they're trying to like hit the bell to like call for help or something like that. I think that's what they're doing. But so they go up there and like the dude is all cranky and shit. And he's just like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And she's just like, oh, whatever. Just be groovy. I have an idea. And then the next scene, you see that she has torn off the old fart's head and is ringing the bell with a severed head. It's just, and she looks like super, super jazzed about it. It's so great. But is it, yeah, I love that. So, you know, and then there's another, like one of the school kids, I think he has a vision that like one of the other kids is like his doppelganger or something like that. So all kind of like fucking weird shit happens. There's demon rape. There's this inexplicably this big pile of naked people that are covered with mud kind of come up out of the floor, which I'm assuming are all the people that they killed back in the old days, you know what I mean? And like put them underneath the thing. So I get, but like I said, I don't know. I don't really get if, yeah, those people in back in the Middle Ages were actually Satanists and witches and they were bad. And so it was okay for the knights to have killed them and buried them and built the church on top of them. Or are we saying that the knights were bad? And then, I don't know, it's just, it just, like I said, I'm thinking about it probably way too much. But yeah, so there's so all these naked people, like, it looks kind of like a Society, actually, that Brian Yuzna film. It looks like The Shunting, a little bit. But it's just, because it's not really explained. It's just kind of like, yeah, here it is. So it turns out that what you have to do is that when this church was built initially over the Satanists' mass grave or whatever, the architect, who is the only person whose tomb is in this church, which they kind of refer to a couple of times during the movie, they ended up killing him, like the, you know, the knights or whatever. They ended up, after the church was done, they ended up killing him and sealing him in a tomb. And he, so he has this like scroll or whatever that's like in his mouth. And then there's this other shit that's in his mouth that's like a mechanism. And they're basically like, if somebody ever dicks around and opens this, the cross thing with the stone with the seven eyes on it and lets the demons out, then somebody needs to go into the architect's mouth in the tomb, turn this little crank that's sticking out his like skull face and bring the whole cathedral down to keep the demons from escaping into the wider world. Now, there is kind of a thing between Father Gus, who is a good guy and he's like the hero, and the cranky old crazy eyebrow head priest dude, who for some reason he finds out about it because he finds like the scroll or whatever that was in, that was hidden. And he's like, well, I think it's a good idea though, like for the demons to get released in the world because the world sucks. And I think that they're getting what they deserve, motherfuckers. So he's just going to not do anything. And he's going to let the demons out the church and just like run rampant all over the world because he thinks everybody deserves it. Like it's judgment or whatever. So Father Gus is like, yeah, that's, I don't like that idea too much. But basically, so what he has to do is he's just going to have to bring the whole cathedral down and kill everybody in it or everybody that can't get out just to keep the demons from escaping. I forgot to mention too, that one, that another great scene, like when everyone is trapped in this cathedral and, you know, they're trying to get out and there isn't really another way out, is that the couple, they manage to find this sort of like way down to this well or whatever, but then they're like, oh, well, you know, this is a dead end and we can't get out. But then they find out that it's like, oh, there's, you know, a space under the floor. And it's like, maybe the floor falls and we can get out that way. So they do. And like the floor kind of crumbles under them and they're like, woohoo, there's like a way out. And then they're just kind of hanging there in space. And it turns out that space under there is this subway tunnel. So like the woman, she's hanging under her boyfriend's hand, like, oh, don't drop me, don't drop me. And then like a train comes and splat. And it's just, I really like that effect because I like that they didn't just make it look like a big splattered, you know, like a big splattered lasagna or whatever, like on the front of this train. It's like, it still kind of looks like a face, but it looks like it's, I don't even know what it looks like it's made of. It's like really, really hard to describe because it still like looks like a face, but it's like, you know what I mean? It's like over the glass of this thing. It's so awesome. But yeah, I love that. And I forgot to mention that that happened as well because everyone, like I said, is trying to find a way out of this church because apparently there's only one door. So, Father Gus ends up, he doesn't actually push the old priest fart out of the window, like, to his death, but it just kind of happens anyway. It's sort of like an accident. So, you know, but win-win. And Father Gus decides, okay, well, I have to go down and go to the architect's tomb and, you know, turn the crank and bring the whole fucking thing down on everybody to keep the demons out of the city, which he is apparently successful in doing. Now, the only person that survives all this, because everybody that was in the church that didn't manage to get out all got smushed. Okay, so there was that whole, so everybody dies at the end, pretty much. Spoiler alert. But the only person that gets out is, again, Ossie Argento's character, Latte. You see at the end that the cathedral, it didn't completely fall apart because, you know, they're filming. They're obviously not going to knock down a real cathedral like for a movie. And the one they were filming in, like I said, was in Hungary. But they did manage to find one that was kind of like ruined or like crumbling or whatever that was in a different part of, you know, I don't know where that one was. But so they're showing that one as though, you know, hey, the tower is still there and they're going to rebuild it. And there's all this kind of like fucking caution tape and the shit around it. And then at the very end, you see that Latte she kind of comes to the ruins and she sneaks in through the fence and she leaves some flowers there. And it has like a picture of her mom and dad. Like her dad was a sacristan and her mom worked at the church too. So I guess they had an apartment in there and she lived there. So she's like, you're led to believe that she left the flowers there for her parents who died when the cathedral fell. But then she finds the stone with the seven eyes on it, right? And she's like, huh, I kind of wonder this. She like does all the dirt off it or whatever. And then this big truck goes by and it kind of pops off. And then there's like this big shiny blue light in there, which is the same thing that happened when Evan first found the shit, like when the big cross fell out of the floor or whatever. And then she looks in there and she's just, and then she smiles. So is Latte, even though she's the one that helped Father Gus figure out how to smash the cathedral, I mean, you would think if she was a bad guy, like if she was one of the original Satanists, like, or if she was like a reincarnation of one of the original Satanists, you'd think that she wouldn't want the cathedral destroyed because she would want the demons to run around all over the earth, right? I mean, that's what you'd think. But so I'm not really sure if she's supposed to be a good guy or a bad guy, because she did help Father Gus. Hey, let's, you know, you have to go down there to the tomb and like destroy the cathedral so the demons don't get out. And then she knew a way out because she'd lived in the cathedral her whole life. So she got out. But I don't know. So at the end, she just was like smiled. So maybe it just means she's possessed or I don't know. Like I said, I'm thinking about this way too much and it's an Italian horror movie, but that's just kind of what I do. But yeah, so this one, if it's not a giallo movie, like I said, it's not a slasher. But if you like kind of real atmospheric gothic sort of horror, you know, spiced up with liberal amounts of gore, which this actually does have. Although, like I said, you got to wait till like the last 20, 30 minutes before it gets real crazy and gets real gory and stuff. This is not my favorite movie of Michele Soavi's. That would be Cemetery Man. And actually, I think I even like Stage Fright a little bit better. Well, I don't know, though. I like Stage Fright as well. That's more of a slasher. That's kind of a classic. And I feel like this one was made in between Stage Fright and Cemetery Man. I think he also made another one called The Sect, which is kind of similar to this one, but I haven't seen it in a long time. But I might get around to that one eventually as well. But yeah, so this one is a little bit of a different thing. It's kind of like Demons in the sense that it's a bunch of people trapped in an enclosed space with demons possessing people, but there's a little bit different kind of vibe to it. It's more of like much more atmospheric, much more gothic, that kind of thing. I've seen a lot of people compare it to John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness, which it definitely does have that kind of vibe to it. It doesn't have like that scientific veneer over it like Prince of Darkness has, but I can definitely see the similarities. And John Carpenter was a big fan of Italian movies, particularly giallo movies, and Prince of Darkness has a little bit of a giallo vibe to it and a little bit of a giallo look to it. So if you like Prince of Darkness, you might like this one as well. Like just kind of, they're not super similar, but the vibe is kind of the same, if you know what I mean. It's just kind of like, I don't know, there's something about it that's kind of similar. So it's, and if you're kind of new to Italian horror, this isn't where I would start, but it's a really, really good and I think underappreciated sort of second tier Italian horror, particularly Italian supernatural horror. If you like Demons, you might be a little disappointed because this one's not like as crazy or as fun as that one? Because I feel like Demons and Demons 2 are kind of more like just wacky fun, more Evil Dead type of things, whereas this is more kind of like a serious, you know, gothic sort of thing. But if that sounds like something that you would like, then by all means, check it out. Like I said, there's a Blu-ray that's out from Scorpion Releasing, I think they're called. But if you are a cheap motherfucker like I am, you can also watch this movie as of this recording for free on Tubi with commercials, but not that many. So if you just want to check it out one afternoon and you don't have anything better to do, then head on over to Tubi.tv and watch it. And yeah, it's a pretty decent entry into the Italian horror genre. So check it out if you haven't seen it. And that'll do it for this Flickers of Fear. And I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.